Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed day in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast, and I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me the opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I want to shout out to those of you that are listening here in the United States. Welcome to another God's Word to Man broadcast. To those of you that are listening in Iraq, I want to welcome you. Canada, welcome. Welcome unto you, Algeria and United Kingdom. Welcome. Welcome to the Philippines. And to any country that is listening to this podcast that I have not named, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we'll give unto you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, for those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know how we do this. We always open up with prayer before we go into any message. And those of you that are first-time listeners, that's what we do. We do not enter any message or present a message without first going into prayer. So wherever you're listening to me at, I want you to join in with me and let us petition the Lord together. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is God, who is ruler, who is the overruler, who is all-powerful. That is what you are, Lord God. You're all-knowing. You're all-wise, full of all understanding and knowledge. And no one has the creative power that you have. No one could have done what you have done and do what you do. You are in a class all by yourself. And source of true revelation comes from you through your spirit. So we petition you today, Lord God, in humility. We ask, Lord God, that you would just bless us with your presence of your spirit. And don't let us take this journey into this lesson alone. But, Lord God, I pray today that everyone that is seeking truth, that they will hear this message, Lord God, and that you will witness to them of this truth in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, I give you glory and I give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you that's listening. Tonight's title is Hey T. Jakes, You're on Your Way to Compromising, Part 2. And this is not just about T.D. Jakes, but there are others who are operating in the same spirit as he is. This is a message of warning to you as believers that there are going to be those, and there are those now, who are in leadership positions, who have great influence over many people. They're going to compromise the Word of God. They're going to start accepting abomination, sin, iniquity, just for gain. I sense the Holy Ghost as I open up with these words of remark here. For those of you who just now listening, let me point you back to part one. After you listen tonight, if you would, go back to listen to part one. Because whenever you come in the middle or the end of something, many times it's hard to grasp the overall message. And that's why I encourage anyone that even when you come to Sunday school, if you always come on time, the best of your ability. Don't come in the middle or toward the end and then say you don't understand. So I want to point you to part one after tonight. But I had been reading to you all about the report that came from, I think it's called BCM Y1 or YI, it's Black Christian News Network 1. And they was given a report on concerning T.D. Jakes, and I just want to catch up to speed for here, just kind of sum it up from the part one. Well, T.D. Jakes was interviewed First I'll then put this way. T.D. Jakes was offended at what he called a so-called Christian, and I want to, a so-called Christian publication who has said that T.D. Jakes supports gay marriages. And they said that based off of an interview that T.D. Jakes was done with T.D. Jakes by Huffington Post. And I got a chance to watch, you know, some of that interview, especially toward the end where the questions about homosexuality and the gay marriage came up to T.D. Jakes. And so, as he has said, this Christian publication misconstrued his words. And so T.D. Jakes, I think some days after he did this interview, and this was in 2015, some days after, he come back to say, hey, they misconstrued my words. And he even went to, you know, start, well, I'm not for gay marriage, never have been. And he started quoting scriptures, okay? And so when he did that, and I was looking at that, you know, I said at one time, I said, well, maybe he's right. Maybe they misconstrued him. Maybe they missed the point. You know, they thought he was saying he was for it, but he's not. But as I read his remarks in the interviews that was done with him, and God began to deal with me about him, and it was no, he had been trying to play both sides of the fence. Now, why did he come back after that first interview with Huffington Post? Why did he come back and say, hey, you misconstrued my words. I never was for gay marriage. Well, I don't know fully why. It could have been, for one thing, when you look at it, you know, T.D. Jakes has a lot of supporters, and you know what I mean, even financially, okay? And perhaps that some of his supporters who are not for gay marriage, the heat on them, maybe turn the heat on them, or maybe he was thinking about them getting upset, okay? But I know from reading his words in his interviews that T.D. Jakes, for one thing, he's like, he's encouraging the gay marriage, the gay community, the LGBT community. And then another minute, it's like he's standing up to say, hey, I'm not with gay marriage and quoting scriptures. So what I did was I was reading to you guys at the, out of part one, what he said, you know, in his interview, where they reported that he said in his interview with Huffington Post. And one of the big things that was interesting to me was that he was asked a question about his position, you know, by the interviewer of Huffington Post. When the interviewer for Huffington Post was asking him about, you know, his position, his take on gay marriage and things like that. And when he asked them about your position on all of this, T.D. Jakes said, evolve and evolving. I evolve and I'm evolving. Now, when he said that, T.D. Jakes come back, and I guess this is was in his few days later to say that he's not for gay marriage. He was saying, when he said evolve and evolving, he said that he meant his method was evolving and not his message. And you know, when you're dealing with evolving, you're dealing with changing, in the changing of a direction, okay? And so he said when he said evolving, evolving, he meant his method, not his message. But then reading his interviews and what he had been saying, that was not honestly true. That was not perfectly true. He is changing, or have been changing, his direction concerning gay marriage. I'm just going to be straight with you. And so I'm going to continue to read some more from the interviews he did, the things that he said. And I ask that you all who are listening, pray about it. You ain't got to take Brother Nate's word for it. Pray about it. Ask God if what I'm presenting to you is true. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. So he goes on. And I think the last thing I left out with you, what he said, and what he was talking about, he said that he believed that homosexuals
should attend congregations that affirm their lifestyle and that politics do not need to reflect biblical ethics, okay? Adding that his position on homosexuality is both evolved and evolving. So he's telling the homosexual, say, hey, you need to go to congregations that affirm your lifestyle, that is in agreement with your lifestyle. But I'm here to tell you that if you find in those kind of congregations, they're not of God. Now, we don't, you know, God didn't tell us to try to make people accept the gospel. I agree, you don't try to make nobody. But why should I point you to join the ungodly? If I have a love for your soul, if you are an abomination and you're walking on the wrong path heading to destruction, why would I not preach repentance to you so you can be delivered and saved? But instead of that, I'm telling you to go join that which is operating in abomination too. Why would I do that? Okay? Hallelujah. When I'm supposed to be a man of God in the ministry, and I'm supposed to be preaching the gospel to you. Amen? And he said that ticks do not need to reflect biblical ethics. Now, this is the problem that's wrong with our country now. The problem is that we think that we can go without God. You understand what I'm saying? We already think we don't need none of God's laws from his Bible. We don't need that, so we come up with our own laws. Okay? Amen. And this is why the country, right now is one of the reasons why we are in shambles today. Because we have gotten away from the overall law or the word of God. We're coming up with our own laws and things. We're trying to please people. Okay? Hallelujah. When we're supposed to be pleasing Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Holy Ghost, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, during an interview with the Huffington Post on Monday, and this Monday they talking about is back in 2015, Jakes was asked by a viewer, and I saw this interview, a viewer sent a question in, not by letter, you know, it's like over TV, like text it or something like that, but anyhow, the interviewer, he read it to T.D. Jakes, and the question that T.D. Jakes was asked is that if he believed that homosexuals and the black church can coexist. In other words, can they exist together in the same place at the same time? His answer to that was absolutely. And then he says, I think it's going to be diverse from church to church. Every church has a different opinion on the issue, and every gay person is different. Now, let's stop there for a minute. For right now, okay, he said that he believed that the black church and the LGBT community can coexist. Okay, we're working on jobs where there's homosexuals, okay? But I'm telling you, according to the word of God, that's going to end. This is only temporary. Overall, there's no place for the righteous and wicked to dwell together. Do you understand what I'm saying? For example, let's go to the first great example. In heaven, God created Lucifer. Look at in Luke, I mean, excuse me, you can see that in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. And so Lucifer, according to Ezekiel 28, God said Lucifer began to become lifted in pride. Now, pride, according to Proverbs, six things God hates, seven is abomination. A proud look was the first thing mentioned. So Lucifer is now operating in abomination. He's in abomination mode in heaven. Now, if God and Lucifer, being the greatest example of abomination, could coexist together in the same place, then why did God have him kicked out? You understand what I'm saying? Why did he have him kicked out? See, that's the first great ultimate example. Why did God have him kicked out? Amen. Now, this ain't a message to tell y'all, say, go find every gay person you can and harass them. No, this is not that message. But I'm here to tell you that as believers, we have to preach the full truth. Now, can they coexist together in the church? No. No. Hallelujah. Remember in the book of Corinthians, the fifth chapter, I think it's 1 Corinthians, fire. Remember the man that was going with his father's wife, which would be his mother or his stepmother. And remember, Paul got on the Corinthian church because instead of them mourning about it, they had come to a point like they accepted it. And Paul says something very important there. He said, don't you know a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? The abomination coexists in the church together. It's going to spread. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, this is where we missed in the message concerning what Christ wants us to really do, what the church should be really made of. The church supposed to be, or the body of Christ, supposed to be made up of believers. Amen? Remember when Snoop Dogg did that so-called gospel rap album, and he was being interviewed by that lady and had his choir robe on and his glasses tilted to his nose, and he hollered, is the church only made of saints? Is the church only made of saints? And I went to looked at him and I said, yeah. But now he acted so educated in the word, he thinking he know. Yes, that's what the body of Christ, God calls the church, but the body of Christ, that's true born again believers, yes, are made up of the saints or the believers, not sinners. When sinners come to the service, they have come to have the word preached to them and to accept Christ. But we're not to make them members if they don't want to live a godly life or accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, that just plain straight out right there. Now, some of you that's listening, maybe you're an atheist, maybe you're against the gospel, may say, well, you know, that's just a braggadocious statement. Well, you can call it what you want to. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen? And I'm not preaching it to have myself lift up in arrogance. I'm preaching it because Jesus said this gospel he want me to give to you to show his love for you. Jesus do not want you going down the wrong road to destruction. That's love, people. That's love. When you know somebody's walking on a path and that path is in the end and they're going to fall off that cliff, if you're really concerned about that person and say they don't really know it, that they're just walking, if you're really concerned, have a love for them, don't want them hurt to be killed, you say, hey, you better stop. That cliff is going to end and you're going to fall. But if you just sit there, I'm just going to sit there and look at them. That's not showing love. See, Christ shows love to us first. And he come to tell us to repent of our sins. Why? That we may get back on the right track. Now, he also said, when he said absolutely, I think they can coexist together, absolutely. My God. He said, I think it's going to be diverse from church to church. Now, wait a minute. Let's understand something. Because he goes on to say, in fact, let me read some more of this. When he says it's going to be diverse from church to church, he said, every church has a different opinion on the issue, and every gay person is different. He replied. Then he says, I think that to speak that the church, the black church, white church, or any kind of church, you want to call it, are all the same is totally not true. Now, let's stop there. Listen, there are some things we do different as far as, for example, you may do sacrament before preacher service. I may do it afterward, okay? After you have service that day, maybe the whole church go out that Sunday, go out to eat. Well, some other churches don't do that. That's understand that's different. But when it comes to the moral issues set up by God, we don't supposed to be diverse in that. Amen? Whatever God calls an abomination, every church that named Christ and is a true believer supposed to stand together on that. It ain't we're diverse from church to church. No, if it's diverse, that ain't God's church. Now, he goes on to say every church has a different opinion on the issue. Wait a minute. When you look in Leviticus, and I think that's Leviticus chapter 20, and I want to give you the right chapter here because I'm looking in the Bible here. Leviticus chapter 20, he said, if a man also lie with mankind as he lie with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they should surely be put to death, their blood should be upon them. Now listen. There are some things in the scripture that God tells you straight out and plain. Straight out and plain. He let you know right here, straight out and plain, that homosexuality is an abomination. T.D. Jakes, what do you mean, okay, that every church has a different opinion on the issue? What different opinion are we supposed to have? Listen, if we believe, you know, God said in the Word, and I think in the book of Romans, that he said, let God be true and everyone else a liar. Okay? So if we believe God to be true, and his Word said homosexuality is abomination, I got the truth right there. I ain't got to have no opinion per se on it. You understand what I'm saying? And he's saying that, well, every church has a different opinion on the issue. That's one of the problems that's going on wrong with us today in Christianity. Okay? Yes, we, when it comes to certain other things, we may have a certain opinion on it, but the moral issues of God, the things that he tells you straight out that's a sin, what do you mean a different opinion? If God lets you know it's sin, guess what? It is sin. Now, you want to make it a different opinion, that tells me like that, that some of you must want to do it. Okay? Amen. See, as I was talking to my brother the other day, sometimes in the body of Christ, there's some things God says straight out. In other words, you ain't got to pray to my Lord, I need a revelation of what you said. No, he telling you homosexuality is an abomination, period. But what we do, we go and make things hard. Like T.D.J. said one time, he said, homosexuality is complex. No. God tell you that it is evil, it's abomination, it is uncleanness, period. Okay? But we make it out like it's so hard. Okay? No. Amen. And then he goes on to say every gay person is different. Listen, the center core thing is for them to be delivered. I don't care if every gay person is different. If they're practicing homosexuality, they need to be delivered from homosexuality. Why is we sitting there talking about, well, this, because that's what he said in the interview that I saw too. He said, and I'm here to tell you, every gay person is not the same, but you're still calling them gay. They're still practicing abomination. That's the key thing, for them to be delivered out of abomination. It doesn't matter about how one's different from the other. If they commit an abomination, then they need to be delivered from that abomination. But once again, see, that's why God had to show you. You have to catch these words and answers that these, quote, big-time leaders are saying. Because many times, they in one breath, they're telling you, say, well, we're against this, or I'm against this. But in another breath, it's like they support it. And this is what's happening here, okay? Amen. Like one minute he's speaking against, another minute he's like kind of speaking up for it, justifying it, encouraging it, okay? On that interview that I saw with Huffington Post, he didn't come out and say, hey, listen, I love, you know, they're the gay people. I love them with the love of God, but you need to repent. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Then he goes on to say, he said that he thinks that homosexuals should find a congregation that affirm their lifestyle. LGBTs of different types and sorts have to find a place of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe like anyone else, he outlined. Did you hear that? Hallelujah. Find a place of worship. So so anything that's self abomination, who you worshiping? Okay? If you for an abomination, who you worshiping? Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, when you're supposed to be pointing them to Christ, you study pointing them away from Christ. Okay? Why? Because you're trying to please both sides of the fence, especially them. That's why so many of them is, woo-woo, TDJ, for him. Because why? He ain't coming out with the straight truth and standing firm on it. Trying to play both sides. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he said that go to a place of worship that reflect your views, what your views are, and what you believe like anyone else. What you mean like? What you mean like anyone else? He goes on to say, the church should have the right to have its own conviction and values. If you don't like those conviction and values and you totally disagree with it, Don't try to change my house. Move into your own and find somebody who gets what you get about faith. Now, how is it that if you're practicing abomination, that's faith? Faith doesn't believe in sin or abomination. Do you get that? It don't believe in it, okay? That's not the God faith. The God faith trusts the word of God. The God faith says, I believe because God said it. So if God tell me homosexuality is an abomination, then I believe it, okay? You can't exercise faith in sin. You cannot exercise faith in abomination. Have you noticed that, for example, have you ever noticed that whenever you have bitterness in your heart and unforgiveness, how it's hard for you to muster up faith? I know some of y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? It's hard for you to even believe. Even if somebody told you about that person that did something wrong to you and said, hey, God's going to save them, when you're in such bitterness, you don't even believe it. Amen. And then don't let them take it a step further and say, hey, let's pray for them. You either ain't going to pray for them or you ain't going to pray right. That's the point. Now, if you're acting like that with the bitterness and unforgiveness in you, then how you going to be walking in faith if you are walking in abomination? How is that happening? Okay. He goes on to say that the issue of homosexuality is complex. See, now you making it complex because you want to get in the stream of justifying it. You want to get in the stream of making the homosexuals feel good about being a homosexual. But at one time, just like you said in the words before that you believe the church should have the right to its own convictions and values. That's true. Okay, one minute the church should be able to do this and stand on its own conviction. But the next minute, you're pointing the homosexuals, not to Jesus, not to repenting and coming to Christ, but go find a church. Listen, I know these churches exist that accept abomination. I don't want to go to them. I don't want to go to them. And why would you be sending somebody that way anyhow? Our job as believers is to point people to Christ, not to point them to sin. It's to point them to Christ. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, once you understand you're not God, you leave yourself on an out clause to grow. Okay. Asks if his position on homosexuality has evolved. Jakes agreed that it has. Evolve and evolving, he replied. I think that where I am is to better understand we, the church, bought into the myth that this is a Christian nation. Now, I don't know who you're talking about because I know I didn't buy into that myth. Okay? That's what's wrong with us now. Now, you're the same one talking about you don't think that politics shall reflect biblical ethics, but now you're talking about we involved to a myth that this is a Christian nation. Well, my question to you is, do you want it to be a Christian nation? Well, according to you, you said, well, the politics shouldn't reflect biblical ethics. Okay? So to me, you with anything, any kind of, because something got to influence something somewhere. Listen, in the government, for example, and I know many of y'all know this, and some of you may not. Some of those people in government are Masons, they're Illuminatis. You think they ain't trying to influence some of this stuff, some of these decisions and these laws that are being passed? You think they just sitting back with their mouth closed? Well, if you believe that, then you believe anything, okay? Because I'm telling you, they're not up in that office, Masons and Illuminatis and all that, just to be sitting around twinkling their toes and sitting in a chair and watching these leaders do. No, they in there influencing. Hallelujah. He goes on said, earlier this year, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states must legalize same-sex marriage, igniting a battle between the church and state over the issue. In his comments on Monday, Jakes advocated for the separation of church and state, which would allow for all types of people to have whatever rights they desire despite biblical prohibitions. See, this thing that he's coming with is that everybody included, no matter what religion that you are part of, just like the Masonic organization that embraces all these religions. God did not tell us to embrace all these religions, people. Let's be straight about that. God didn't tell us that. If God was to embrace all these religions, The first one he had to apologize to is Satan, because Satan was coming up with his own stuff in him. That's one of the reasons why he got kicked out, trying to rebel against God. God, and this is what's wrong with many of us as Christians. We're trying to accept all these religions and trying to, quote, be at peace with everybody, okay? The only way you can be at peace is you got to be at peace God's way. And it is not God's way for you to accept all these religions, okay? God told us to love all men. But that's not included in the love package that you accept these religions and try to make us all one. Listen, Christ said, even in Revelation chapter 20, he said, blessed and holy are those that take part in the first resurrection. On them, the second death don't have no hold, but they're going to reign with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, that's the righteous. During that 1,000-year reign, that's the righteous. Now, if the righteous and the unrighteous could dwell together, then why would he make such a statement in Revelation chapter 20? Because during the millennial reign of peace, that's why it's peace, it's going to be the righteous dwelling with, not the unrighteous and the righteous dwelling together. That's why I said this thing about the coexisting, this is a limited time. In the end, it's not going to be. When the smoke clears, it's not going to be. Amen? But he didn't tell all that, okay? He didn't say all that. Oh, absolutely, okay. But anyhow, said that Jay advocated for the separation of church and state, which allowed for all types of people to have whatever rights they desire despite biblical prohibitions. He said that politics don't need to be based on Christianity. Okay. If we can divide or what you would call separation of church and state, then we can dwell together more effectively, because atheists, agnostics, Jews, all types of people, Muslims pay into the government. Okay? Now, when Christ comes, he's going to be set up his own government. And guess what it's not going to involve? The abominable, okay? The wicked and all that. So what do you say to that? And once again, this is what our problem here is in America. We got away from the Christian back of value. We got away from the Word of God. And you're talking about we can dwell together more efficiently for how long? Now, once again, this is not a message of hate that I'm preaching to people that haven't accepted the gospel. But I'm here to let you know the truth. When the smoke clears, this place is going to be for Jesus. Amen? And all that dwell with him is going to be the righteous. There's going to be no unrighteous and righteous dwelling together. Amen. Remember in the 25th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus talked about when Jesus come back, remember he said on his right hand he's going to have the sheep, and on his left hand the goats. The sheep is the righteous, the goat is the unrighteous. Okay? When he's going to say to the goats, depart from me, ye cursed. And he's going to tell the righteous, come on with him. So if it was okay, finally, for the righteous and the unrighteous to coexist together in the same place, then once again, why is Jesus going to separate them? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He goes on to say, the government then cannot reflect one particular view over another just because we're the dominant group of religious people in the country, because those numbers are changing every day, he asserted. We need a neutralized government that protects our rights to disagree with one another and agree with one another. Now, he says, since we're the dominant group of religious people, here, are we? we are? Wow, okay. Something to think about, okay? Wow. The dominant group, huh? Hallelujah. I want to also give you a website you can look up and look at. Remember I told you, and I've been talking to you about, you know, he said his position on homosexuality is evolving. And he comes back and says that, well, what I meant was my ministering, you know, not my message. But I'm telling you, he's meaning his message too. And I just read that to you. Now I'm going to give you another proof that you can go look on. And I'm going to give you this, what you type in. And you could type in why I chose to lead the Potter's House Church, part 1 and 2. Now, this is by a woman named Kay Sherrill. Kay Sherrill, and if you type that in on the YouTube, why I chose to lead the Potter's House Church part one and two. You need to listen to both parts. The total time together would be 30 minutes. I think one is 14 minutes, one is 15 minutes. But anyhow, this woman, Kay Sherrill, to give you more, to show you that he meant, when he said evolve and evolving, that's talking about he going to another direction. He's changing his message. Okay? I'm telling you. This woman, Kay Sherrill, she once was a member, I think when he first came to Dallas in 96, she said she was a member. And, man, she talks about, hey, at that time, she said T.D. Jakes could really teach. He was direct, and he could really teach that word. She said, until the money started coming in. She said when the money started coming in, she saw the change, okay, with him, okay? And she started talking about some things going to church. But she tells you on there, what was the final thing, what was the ultimate thing that caused her to leave? And let me tell you what she said. She said, one day T.D. Jakes was talking to them. I don't know, was he behind the pulpit preaching to him? I don't remember how she said, but she said he was dressing them. And he told them about, I think this story, this situation about this lady. He said this lady come down to the altar, I guess, or come to the front. And she come kneeling, she dressed, and she come kneeling, praying, Lord, make me a lady, Lord, make me a lady, you know, like that. And I don't know, I guess the congregation, you know, hearing that word, oh, you know, whatever. And come to find out, the one that was saying, when she was saying, make me a lady, was not a lady, it actually was a man. It was a man dressed up like a woman, praying and asking God to make him a lady. And she said what got her was the word that T.D.J. said. And she said she was there and she heard it out with her own ears. She said, T.D.J. said, see, the Bible does not have answers for the stuff that we're going through today. Wow. Well, if the Bible don't have the answers, if the word of God don't have the answers, where the answers coming from? So he said, even with that situation with that man praying and saying, Lord, make me a lady, there was no answer for it. Now, how could that not be an answer for it? That's straight up homosexuality. With that man, you should be ministering and say, hey, listen, God loves you, but what you're asking for is an abominable act, and God wants you to repent and cleanse you from it. Instead of you saying the Bible doesn't have no answer for it. And whether you believe it or not, there's others in leadership like the T.D. Jakes who thinks the same thing. When that thing right there is plain in the scripture, that that's abomination. No, why? Why are they thinking? Because they want to accept it. Point blank. They want to accept it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read one more interview he had. This was two or three months after he did the Huffington Post interview. He was interviewed by this lady who called herself Lady Niecy T, on 1190 WLIB radio. And this is an interview she did with T.D. Jakes, okay? You can type that in, and you can see it, okay, on the YouTube. And so she's talking to T.D. Jakes about, you know, his books and him in the movies and how do you do all that, you know, you being a husband and all that. Okay, so a little bit, right almost before the interview was over, the lady said, I'm going to ask you something and then I'm going to let you go. I want to ask you about this. And this is what she asked him, and I want you to listen to this real closely, okay? The lady asked him, she said, with the Supreme Court bill being passed down, and at that time what she's talking about, you know, they legalized same-sex marriage. She asked him, she said, how do you as a pastor handle, how do you handle that if a gay couple come to you and ask you to marry them? Now, I want to read to you his response to that. And you have to catch, it's these two words in there, you have to catch what he was saying. When she asked him, said, how do you, you know, as a pastor, how do you handle if a gay couple comes to you and asks you to marry them? He said, right now, at this point, that is something I would not do. There are some churches that would do it, but right now, the Potter's House is not one of them. Now, what word, if there was a word that stood out to you that I read to you that he said, what was it? Amen? I tell you what it was, right now. He said right now. Now, mostly when somebody tells you that right now or not right now, right now, they give you the implication that it could change. You understand what I'm saying? He said right now at this point, that is something I would not do, giving you the indication that it's possible in the future that that would change. Hallelujah. He says right now the potter's house is not one of them churches that would do it. He keeps saying right now. Once again, letting you know it's subject to change. I'm telling you, when he said that his position on the homosexuality is evolving, evolving, yes, he was talking about changing direction from standing against it to accepting it. It wasn't all about what he's talking about, his method. No, that was not it. Amen. Now, he goes on to say, I think we have to share freedom with people who have other views like atheists, agnostics, and other people. The country needs to do that. But when I come into my sanctuary, I can be guided by my convictions about the Bible as I understand it. Then the woman, Nisi, she asks him about this other thing. I want you to listen to this. She says, so your thoughts on Kim Walker, who took a stand against signing license because of her religious beliefs, is this is what she wanted to know. Now, but many of y'all know the Kim Walker. I think this woman was in Kentucky. She worked in the office where you give license to couples that get married, and this gay couple come in there, they want a license, and she's like, I can't do that. That's against my convictions in Christ. And she was saying that, and, you know, she went to jail, I think, for that. So now this woman is asking T.D. Jakes about it. And listen what he says to this, because he said, your thoughts on Kim Walker, who took a stand against signing license because of her religious belief. He says, I don't know if I'm qualified to make a statement about that. Now, let's stop for a minute. So you mean you tell me, is she being really standing for the faith that the Word of God said that, you know, homosexuality is an abomination, sin? You mean you can't say, well, hey, I commend the sister for standing. No, he didn't say that. He just said, I don't think I'm qualified to make a statement about that. Then he goes on to say, because there's a lot of issues to consider. She has a personal religious conviction to what she wants to adhere, and she has a job to do. Then he goes on to say, I'm not sure at what point you need to step down from the job if the job is going in the direction you don't want it to. Then he goes on to say, I'm not sure that my faith can control my office when I work in a secular environment. Wow. So you mean to tell me that if your job is requiring you to honor homosexuality, then you don't have the faith to stand and say, no, I can't do that. Even some other Christians think like that. You think, some Christians think everything you're ordered to do. Now, once again, I'm not preaching a message for you to rise up against supervisors. But you find out that everything they want you to do, you can't do it. Some supervisors do some low-down stuff. Some of them want you to spy on other folks to get them in trouble. Okay? So what you going to say? Well, I had to do my job. Some of them want you to do stuff to set traps for other people. What are you going to do as a Christian? Well, I could have lost my job if I wouldn't do it. Listen, hear this and hear me, please, clearly. Some of us is going to end up having to leave jobs because they're going to want you to do something that is sinful or wicked, point blank. But do you have enough faith to believe Christ, that Christ will supply your need and supply you with another job? T.D.J. said, I don't believe my faith, that's what he said, could control my office when I work in a secular environment. Glory. Then he said, I'm not sure at what point you need to step down from the job, but the job is giving you going in a direction you don't want it to go. Hallelujah. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Then this is what else he said on it. He said, I would have to look at the employee's manual or bylaws to see if she's well within her rights. Whoa. Okay. See, this is why many of the churches and many of the leaders don't preach about persecution. They throw a little in there sometimes, but they don't really preach about persecution, okay? Because when you stand for the word of God, say, I can't do that because that's against my convictions in Christ, you think you're going to be persecuted? Amen. You're going to be persecuted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My Lord, God help us. Once again, the phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Wow. At what point? What point? Glory. Amen. I mean, that was the job I work on now, that was something my supervisor was asking me to do that I knew was portraying a lie. I told him, I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. That's not right. I can't do that. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you working on the job and they want you to honor witches, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, you know, I got to do my job. I can't lose my job. Amen. Listen, we talk about having faith in God. I'm not talking about doing something crazy and silly. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about really standing on the faith and having to suffer for it, okay? Hallelujah. Listen, if you don't think it's coming, you just wait. And if it ain't hit you on your job, then you just wait. Some of you are going to be asked to do some things that you know is not right. I'm talking about you, not you just thinking like it, but you're going to know it's not right. And you're going to know God speak against it. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, well, I don't know if my faith can sustain this, you know. I can't afford to lose this job, you know. And I just don't know. Amen. See, in the last day, you're going to see the for real from the fake, people. I'm telling you. You're going to see the for real from the fake. Amen. You know, nobody, you know, takes real big time happiness and stuff. Yeah, some of the, you know, you lose your job, it does affect you, don't get me wrong. But the joy shall outlast it when you think about whose words you're standing on. And when you have to think about that, the reward he'll give you is greater. You think that there ain't people who are Christians having lost their jobs or been fired from their jobs because they wouldn't do that which God said is no, but their job wanted them to do it? You think they ain't been fired, but get this. You don't think God have taken care of them? Listen, standing for the Lord don't go unrewarded, people. I'm telling you, it don't go unrewarded. And the problem we having is we talking too much faith and not walking in faith. We talking of faith. You know, some of these big-time leaders, big-time televangelists on TV, they'll talk a good faith game in a heartbeat. Got money to travel the world, but when they go to these other places, they ain't going too deep. They're going to the city where there's a Coca-Cola or a McDonald's, okay, but they ain't going deep in the trenches to deliver the gospel. No, But we'll talk your faith all day long till you fall out on the floor, get up and fall out again. But when it comes to walking it, that's a different thing. Amen. So we'll talk about it in the congregation and the service. Oh, the Lord's ahead of my life. Oh, I believe the Lord, and I believe that whatever I face, he'll keep me. But then when it comes to actually walking it, and he said he has to look in the the employee's manual or bylaws to see if she well within her rights. Amazing. I said amazing. Hallelujah. Wow, wow, wow. My God, hallelujah. Lord Jesus. You know, we go more by the, and I'm not, once again, I'm not trying to cause a revolt against the government, but we go more against man's standards and setups and laws than we do God. We believe more in that than we do of God, okay? Hallelujah. Listen, everybody ain't going to like you. Everybody ain't going to receive you. And when you stand on the godly issue, and call it what God calls it, everybody ain't going to have their arms open and say, hey, come to me. We want to embrace you. You're going to have a lot of them picking up stones in their hand, want to throw it at you. Amen? They be like, hit them. Hit them hard. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray for T.D. Jakes. Pray for the other big televangelists who's, and some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have heard it yourself, that these other televangelists, they are saying some stuff you said, say, what? The Word of God didn't say that? And you can even sense it in your spirit like, man, they're going in another direction other than the way they're going away from God. Also, too, don't you get caught up in that. You know, I said it once before. I think I say it again. You know, even with T.D. Jakes, I noticed that. And I watched him off and on through the years. Whenever T.D. Jakes would start a sermon with those big old words, you know, he likes saying those big old long words, I get no anointing from his sermons. Man, it disturbed me so bad, I don't even watch the whole sermon. But whenever he just start off plainly talking and letting God use him, I have sensed the anointing in many of his sermons when he do that. Many of them. But there have been many where he started with them big words, I ain't said nothing. Nothing at all. And I say that to say this, you have to watch certain words now. He's saying he don't endorse same-sex marriage, but yet still listening to your words, you either don't want to just stand firmly against it, or you try to encourage them on in that instead of calling them out. Then you go into, well, I can't force my belief on nobody. No, God just told you to tell the gospel. They don't want to hear it, then you don't tell them no more. But they don't stop you from telling them. Glory. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of thy precious son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day you made and created and this opportunity you've given me to spread the word. Father, I pray tonight that every heart that was tuned in, every ear that was listening, will be touched by your spirit concerning this message. Lord God, that you will open their eyes to this truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. Thank you for being God, for you deserve all the glory and honor and praise. And, Lord God, we will magnify you and we lift you up. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you that have been listening. Lord, say the same. I'll be back on tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. So, once again, this is Brother Nate for another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.